Thanks. I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. Anyone who writes or aspires to write relies on Strunk and White's The Elements of Style. And if you don't swear by it and can't stand it, you've obviously read it. Long before it became an indispensable tool at my writing desk, it was a marvelous book to read. There was something unique about the style guide, unlike any other. It has a character of its own, an attitude, and an outlook at life that's unique. Now, a fascinating book is out, Stylized, a slightly obsessive history of Strunk and White's The Elements of Style. In 1918, William Strunk Jr., professor of English at Cornell, self-published a guide on grammar and usage. In 1957, a former student, the New Yorker writer E.B. White, rediscovered the book and wrote a piece in the magazine about the book, eventually revising the book, adding to it. In 1959, 50 years ago now, the first Strunk and White edition was published. It is a book that's been used by many writers, from Dave Barry to Elmer Leonard, Frank McCourt to Stephen King. The author of this book, Stylized, joins me now. Mark Garvey is a 20-year veteran of the book publishing business, and he's written two other books, Searching for Mary and Come Together. His blog is at textarts.com. What he has written is a remarkable book about a remarkable book. It's published by Touchstone. I'll be keeping it next to my copy of The Elements of Style. Please welcome to the Planta Online program in Cincinnati, Mark Garvey. Good morning, Mr. Garvey.
How you doing, Joe? Thanks for having me.
Very well. You're very welcome. Is this the first book about the elements of style?
I think it is, yeah. You're right. It's a great question. I think it is the first book about that book, yes.
It's funny because, you know, when I read about the book, I guess I saw it in a catalog about, you know, the forthcoming fall books and stuff. You know how that is. Mm-hmm. I automatically sought it out because, as I said, I love the book. I use it. And I was surprised that there hasn't been something written about it heretofore.
I was surprised as well. And I noticed, I guess it was about 2004, I noticed that the book was coming up on its 50th anniversary. So I figured somebody would be on it, you know. And I let it sit for a couple of years, actually, before I got serious about putting a proposal together. And by that time, I had heard nothing about anybody doing a book about it. And so I thought, okay, I'll try it myself. And, yeah, it worked out. And even along the way, I never heard of anybody else having plans, even with the 50th anniversary. I was surprised, as you are.
And it's a book that's always in print, right?
Right, yeah.
Do you remember when you first encountered the book?
Certainly, yeah. It was in high school. I had it in high school. Didn't really hit home with me, though, until college, and we used it in college as well, and this would have been in the late 70s. And it was the third edition that we used in college, and it really grabbed me then. I was studying grammar in a sort of a serious way then, finally, in college. And, it appealed to me then, and it has appealed to me ever since.
Beyond just the mechanics of grammar and write and sort of, you know, usage and the sort, what is it about the book that makes it so unique? I mean, there is certainly a personality that comes through, right?
Mm-hmm, right. Yeah, the personality comes through, and it's a kind of a unique two-sided personality. I mean, you've got Strunk, and you've got White. And, Strunk was a teacher, more of a kind of a straight rules man. Not without humor, though. He had a humorous side. And White, coming from the side of having been a writer, of course, a very successful writer, with a lot of humor, a lot of style and wit, and something about the combination of those two really sparked with people. I think it appeals to people for a lot of different ways, for a lot of different reasons. I think it helps writers put their faith in some rules, some simple rules that really help them get their work done, for one thing. And I think the book kind of holds out a promise to people that, you know, with a little careful, clear thinking and careful writing, you can occasionally touch truth and pass it on to your readers.
What was the book like before White came along?
It was a much shorter book. It was very helpful, of course. Strunk covered the kind of the basics of using commas, that sort of thing, punctuation, some mechanics of writing. He also included some things about organization and logic in your writing. You certainly could have called it a drier text than before White got a hold of it. Still, though, very useful, and it certainly made an impression on White, and that he remembered all those years later when it showed up again at his desk. It was a different book, and I don't think it would have had the appeal, certainly, without White having taken hold of it and given it his special twist.
Now, you've seen original copies of the book?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did a lot of work in the archives at Cornell, which is where Strunk taught and which is where White attended and took Strunk's classes. and all of Strunk's, all of White's papers are there, his letters and that sort of thing. But there are some materials from Strunk that are kept in the archives as well. And one of those is an original 1918 edition of the book that, and that was the first year that Strunk had published it for sale in his classes to help with his writing classes. So yeah, I've held one and looked through it. It's charming, of course.
Now, White was a student. Were they close at all?
They were, and that was one of the surprises for me working on this book. I found out they were friends, and they became friends when Strunk was attending there. Of course, there was a considerable age difference between them, but they did establish a friendship, and I think probably based on White's enthusiasm for writing. White would visit the Strunk home. They played chess together. I know that from talking to his grandson, Strunk's grandson. I know White went on at least one date with Strunk's daughter. Didn't go much farther than that, but yeah, they were close. And after White graduated in 1921, Strunk followed White's career with great interest, and they corresponded continually up until Strunk's death in 1946. And Strunk visited White in New York. So yeah, I was surprised to learn how friendly they were with each other. It wasn't just a teacher-student relationship.
And what was it about Strunk that White liked?
Well, he liked his no-nonsense quality. He also liked his sense of humor, which I don't think we get enough of in the book. But apparently he was a very humorous man. Some of that comes out in some of the letters that I've seen from Strunk to White. I think he liked Strunk's ideas about precision and brevity and clarity and just the straightforwardness of the man. I think White was a big believer in, you know, saying what you mean. You know, mean what you say and say what you mean. And Strunk had that quality in spades, and I think White really admired that.
Anyway, so when White gets a hold of it, in terms of updating it and adding to it, what does he add that we hadn't seen heretofore?
Well, he does a bit of rearranging of some things that are there. He takes out a couple of small sections that were what he called narrow and bewildering, where Strunk just gets a little bit too detailed. But what White's biggest addition is Chapter 5 of the book, an essay that he wrote himself. I mean, there is no Strunk in Chapter 5. It's all White, and it's called An Approach to Style. And in that essay, White really sets forth his credo, his beliefs for the what it means to be a writer. And I think most people who read that find that very encouraging and very apropos to what they're trying to do as writers, and very helpful.
You interviewed a number of writers for this book, did you not?
Mm-hmm, I did.
What is it about, some of the people you talked to the late Frank McCourt.
Mm-hmm.
Did you talk to Dave Barry at all?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, what is it that they swear by with this book? I mean, like, from this book, I should say.
Right. I think they swear by the stance it takes. You know, that there are some rather simple guidelines that writers can keep in mind to get their work done and to help them present their thoughts clearly in good order. You know, and I think that's what the book really holds out as a promise. And that's what these fellows appreciate, these the ones I talk to. And I know Dave Barry in particular, he said he used to teach at business audiences. This was before he was a journalist. He would go into, I gather, a corporate setting and help the people there learn to write better, write more clearly. And he swore by Strunk and White for that purpose, because it does help people kind of get their thoughts in order and present them more clearly. And that was kind of a common theme with the others that were in the book.
In reading your book and thinking back to the elements of style, which I pick up, I must say, probably about every 6 months or so, unless I go to it sooner for some piece of advice or something, it helps us appreciate good writing if we're reading. Did you find that for you?
Did you say reading helps us to appreciate good writing?
Well, yeah. I mean, the book has helped me appreciate writing that's good elsewhere.
I agree. It sort of gives you a good sense of the things to look for.
And right.
It does help you recognize, yeah, you're exactly right. It helps you recognize good, well-ordered writing when you see it. Because, frankly, you don't see it that often, you know. and it's nice when you can see it and say, oh, yeah, that's what they're talking about. Yeah, I agree.
Andy Rooney was friends with E.B. White, wasn't he?
I believe he was. I don't know much about that, though, sorry to say.
Yeah, because the first time I remember encountering White, other than Charlotte's Web, and you, even then you don't really think about who the author is, was reading about him in one of Mr. Rooney's books. Yeah, and I guess they were frequent correspondents of the sort. These letters that you have in the book from White are just, I mean, some of them are just remarkable. He wrote a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his letters are unbelievable. And if my book accomplishes one thing, I hope it is to encourage people to go seek out more of his letters, which are available in his collected letters, which were just republished in 07, which is just a fantastic book. Yeah, and it makes me sad for what we've lost in letter writing. You know, since somehow email doesn't do the same thing, blogs don't even do the same thing, and he was a master of the form.
Did he keep the letters, or one keeps their letter? I mean, did you keep your letters when you write them after you write them?
Well, I don't. Well, of course, I don't write letters anymore. But
yeah.
He kept copies, and also most of the people who were receiving them also kept copies. And as I understand it, they had to go to various recipients of these letters to gather some of them. But, yeah, he kept carbons and things.
Yeah. Jeffrey Pullman, he's a linguistics professor at Edinburgh, the University of Edinburgh. He calls the book eccentric and not underpinned by a proper grounding in English grammar. Is he the chief critic, do you think, of the elements of style?
He certainly is, I guess, the loudest at this point and seems to have somewhat of an audience. There was an opinion piece of his published, I think, in the Chronicle of Higher Education several months back. I think it was that. Anyway, it might have been the New York Times. I'm not sure. But, yeah, he's very vocal about it and doesn't have much respect for it. And to each his own, all I can say is the book works for me, and I think it helps people produce the kind of writing that I like to read, and I don't know what sort of writing Professor Pullman might like to read, but I don't see a downside to the elements of style. He tends to pick at it, doesn't completely support his case, I don't think. I don't know. Let's just leave it at that.
Did White realize what he had here, that this was a book that sold a lot and that affected a lot of people?
Well, you mean after it came out?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was thrilled with it. Yeah, definitely. He knew what he had. And as did the Strunks, the surviving Strunks. Of course, the book came out well after William Strunk was dead, but his family definitely benefited from White's publication because White insisted on splitting the royalties half and half with the Strunk family. So yeah, he definitely appreciated it, and he did what he could to keep it updated in his lifetime.
And you dealt with the families, the Strunk and White families. Mm-hmm. What has that experience been like?
It was great. One of the surprises for me was to find out that William Strunk had grown up in the town I live in, which is Cincinnati, which that certainly helped with my first step of research. And it was tough finding some Strunk survivors, but there was a grandniece here in Cincinnati that I eventually found, and a grandson who lives on the East Coast that worked with me. That was tremendous, because they shared family photographs, family ledgers. Strunk's father, William Strunk Sr., kept very detailed ledgers of expenses and all sorts of things, and those were a big help to me. The Whites, I dealt with Aileen White, who is E.B. White's daughter-in-law, and with Martha White, who is E.B. White's granddaughter. Both tremendously helpful. I couldn't say enough nice things about them. Very generous with photographs as well as letters. So I owe them a great debt of gratitude for that, both families.
Did any of them go into writing?
Sure. I know Martha White writes. She was the last editor of the letters, I believe, that I was talking about earlier, E.B. White's letters. I think Aileen writes or wrote to a certain extent. I don't know about the Strunks, though. The one of the Strunks I dealt with was a teacher. And I believe the other works for the government, but I don't know about the Strunk writing.
Well, what's a fundamental lesson that we should take away from reading this book, The Elements of Style?
I think my favorite lesson from it is kind of what the point E.B. White is making in the last section, and that is style is not something separate from you, and it's not something, it's not an artificial construct that you bring to your work. You know, to achieve your style, in White's viewpoint, you clear the deadwood out of the way, you keep your text as clear as you can, keep your thoughts as clear, and write as naturally and as clearly and simply as you can, and your style will develop. But to try to force it artificially is the wrong way to go.
Does a book translate well to today's sensibilities, especially with technology and the sort, and how writing has changed, perhaps?
Well, certainly, I don't think many people would think of applying it in terms of emails, Twitter, all that sort of thing. But I think once you step beyond that at all into the work world, certainly, I think it still applies. What employer would not wish that his employees wrote clearly and effectively and persuasively, and that's what this book gives them in great measure.
Do you have fun writing this book, stylized?
I had a blast writing this book, right? I sure did. And I spent a good deal of time in the archives at Cornell, and that was just such a joy, reading through E.B. White's letters and putting the whole story together. It was a great experience.
And Frank McCourt, he recently passed away. You got to talk to him?
Yeah, that was beautiful. We spoke in the spring of '08, and he was just a delight to talk to. I mourn his loss with everyone else. It's a great loss to American letters. But he was tremendous to talk to and very generous with his time. And interestingly, he narrated the audio version of The Elements of Style, which came out in '07. And that's a joy to listen to, too. You might not think it. Listen to the entire Elements of Style and audio, but it's well worth picking up.
Mark, it's been such a pleasure to talk to you about this great book. I stayed up with it a couple nights finishing it, and it's just a fascinating story, and your appreciation of the book is just wonderful to read. Continued good luck with it.
Oh, I appreciate that, Joe. Thank you so much. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
You're very welcome. The book is called Stylized, A Slightly Obsessive History of Strunk and White's The Elements of Style. Touchstone Books is its publisher. It's an imprint of Simon & Schuster. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.